Those on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, State of Jefferson, and welcome to the first ever State of Jefferson State of Mind show. Hope everybody's doing good this morning. We're certainly excited to be here. Myself, Robert Smith, they call me the Bear, and my co-host, Kayla Brown.
And they call me the Mouse. This is a call-in show, so feel free to call us at 605-4567 or follow us online at kcnr1460.com. We do have a couple people in our chat room already this morning. But this is our first radio show, so it might be a little bit choppy as we figure out what it is that we want to do and how we want to do it. But at the beginning of every show, we do want to highlight one of our signers of the Declaration of Independence. So we decided that we were going to start with a remarkable young man named Edward Rutledge. Mr. Rutledge was born on November the 23rd of 1749 in Charleston, South Carolina. He was the youngest of seven children, but he still had the opportunity to study law at Oxford. At the age of 23, he was admitted to the English bar, and he returned to Charleston. 2 years later, he married Henrietta Middleton, and they would eventually have three children. Now, Mr. Rutledge was a bit of a controversial figure according to modern standards, as he opposed African Americans serving in the Continental Army. But when he signed the Declaration of Independence, he was only 26 years old. I repeat, 26 years old. That's only 3 years older than I am. He returned to South Carolina after signing the Declaration of Independence and proceeded to serve as a captain of the artillery in the South Carolina militia. He saw action at several battles, including the Battle of Beaufort, and was captured by the British in the fall of Charleston in 1780. He was held prisoner until July of 1781. After his release, he returned to public service to serve in the legislature of his native state of South Carolina, where he would at any given time serve on as many as 19 different committees. He served as an elector, he served twice in the state senate, and he was even elected governor. His health declined rapidly and he wasn't able to complete his term as governor, so he died in office at the age of 50 on January 23rd, 1800. But, I mean, just looking at this young man, I mean, 26 years old, he signed the Declaration of Independence, and people today say, State of Jefferson, it'll never happen, it's too hard.
Yes, they do. They really don't understand. And for a nation that has accomplished so much, I mean, from the very forges of our birth, we took on the most powerful nation in the world, and we won. Mm-hmm. You know, we've put a man on the moon. We've defeated twice the greatest threat to freedom that the world has ever known. And then they say something as simple as standing up for their rights is too hard. And that's really kind of how far we've fallen. I mean, we've spent so much time being beat down and told that we're no longer exceptional, that we're no longer the greatest country in the world. And it's time to reawaken this country and reawaken the state and remind everybody that we are Americans and we can do anything that we put our minds to, and that the word impossible is not a statement of fact, it's a dare.
I like that. I do also believe that a lot of it does come down to complacency too. We've, for a long time, Americans have had it, you know, we've had it pretty good, you know. Poverty in the United States isn't like poverty around the world, and yet California, according to the WHO standards, 23.5% of us live in poverty.
Yeah, which is actually a point and a half away from being qualified as a third world country.
So how would the State of Jefferson fix that?
Well, with representation, we could, proper representation, we could put a halt to the train wreck that is California. You know, the spend. And what a lot of people don't realize is, even though we're being hit pretty hard now, the ones that are really going to pay for it is Kayla and my generation. It's Kayla and my kids.
Yeah.
It's vampirism. They are sucking life out of my children's future. And mm-hmm. That's why we're here in the State of Jefferson. You know, we're finally starting to overcome some of the the nonsense that's been spouted by the priests of the state running around screaming heresy. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, through misinformation, don't realize really what the state of Jefferson is about. And we're finally getting the message out. People are finally starting to listen. And as we talk to people, it's like watching a light bulb go off in their head. And they're going, oh, we really can do this. And yes,
and it crosses
really
party
can.
Lines. It's everybody who goes, when you look at what we call the three R's of the state of Jefferson, you've got representation. We are unrepresented here in Northern California. We have regulations that are killing our economy because, you know, city folk, they simply don't understand how we live our lives, and that's nothing against them. We don't understand how they live theirs. And restoration, you know, the restoring of our constitutional rights given to us by Edward Rutledge, 26 years old when he signed the Declaration of Independence. So, you know, three R's for everybody out there. You've got representation, regulation, restoration. That's what the state of Jefferson's about. It's not about the social issues. It's not about anything else except for those three things that everybody can agree on.
Yeah, that's really what we're about, is restoring our state government to the constitutional model that is guaranteed. And for anybody to say, oh, well, I don't want that. Really? You don't want a voice in your government? You're okay with one senator having to represent 11 counties instead of 11 senators representing 11 counties? I don't even understand that kind of logic.
Yeah. And then unfortunately we get this quite a bit of, a lot of people tend to ask me, well, how do you know the new state's going to be any different than the last one?
Well, why would we repeat the same mistakes that we're fighting so hard to get away from?
Exactly.
It's absolute nonsense.
Well, I always go back to the representation part on that one, too. You know, we all in Northern California, 2 million people can vote one direction. And then L.A. votes another direction, 3.5 million people. And L.A. decides for Redding, California, what we need to do and how we need to do it and when we need to do it. When it doesn't apply to us, or we don't have the finances in our state to be able to implement something like that. So it's just very, very, you know, difficult, you know, to understand that. But we already have our first caller, it seems. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. This is Matt W. Recon Ghost, and I wanted to put a shout-out to Robert and Mouse.
Hey, how are we doing, Matt?
What's that?
How are we doing, Matt?
We're doing great. I wanted to put a shout-out to you guys, and thank you for having this show available, and appreciate the effort by both of you and, you know, of course, everybody.
Oh, no,
who
I think
is involved in the our movement and, you know, to keep our rights. And I wanted to let you guys know I am headed to enjoy one of my freedoms and rights to play air this morning and to enjoy that type of rights. And I think Robert was going to be talking about those type of issue today.
We are. We're going to actually have Frank Rogers from U.S. Airsoft mm-hmm. down in Anderson on this morning discussing SB 199 and how the state of California is trying to legislate him out of business.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. So, you know, we appreciate you. Good luck with this show. Unbelievable. I got somebody chirping in on my call when I first call you guys.
It's the universal law.
It is. It's always going to happen. You guys have a great day. Take care, Robert. We'll see you guys soon.
You too, Matt.
You too.
Wish I was going to be down there with you guys.
Cool. Sounds great. Have a nice one.
And for those of you that don't know, here right after the break, we are going to have Frank Rogers from mm-hmm. U.S. Airsoft on. And we'll be discussing SB 199, and which is a bill effectively to ban airsoft guns in California. And if you guys don't know what that is, you'll be able to find out right here after the break.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
At Pulse Urgent Care, their goal is to get you in and out quickly. Pulse Urgent Care is open 7 days a week in their newly expanded facility from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m., providing care for the entire family, from infants to great-grandparents. If you suffer from allergies, visit newly expanded Pulse Urgent Care today for short-term allergy relief. For more information, call 722-1111 or walk in to Pulse Urgent Care on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart in Redding. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
I'm Jake Ryan. I'm with the Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange. We opened up in February of last year. The first major decision I made on how to advertise and how to connect with my customers was airing spots on KCNR. KCNR was probably the best marketing decision I made. I was able to hook into my audience, the people that I knew would want my product fastest, not by using KCNR than pretty much any other element of my marketing plan. In fact, now that I've expanded, a lot of that has to do with getting to the customer that I needed to get to out in Corning. I still have people coming up to me and saying, oh yeah, I heard it on the internet. Without question, it's going to be the first element of my marketing plan. KCNR has made itself the lifeblood of my marketing. If anybody has any questions about what KCNR has done for my company, I'd be more than happy to answer your questions. Come by the store. We're out there on 3637 Eureka Way. Or contact me at jake@thepreparedpatriot.com. You know, the funny thing is my slogan is peace of mind today for less. And having gone with KCNR, I have that.
I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind. This is Kayla the Mouse and Robert the Bear. This is a call-in show, so please feel free to call us on the studio line at 605-4567 or follow us online in our chat room at kcnr1460.com. And we're talking about all things regarding the state of Jefferson. And we have a caller on the line. Robert, can you give us an introduction to this young man?
Yeah, we've got Frank Rogers from U.S. Airsoft on the line. Frank, are you there?
I am. How you guys doing?
Oh, pretty good. How about yourself this morning?
Good, thank you.
I'd imagine getting ready for the day's activities, so we'll keep it as short as we can. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what Airsoft is and your facility down there in Anderson?
Yeah. So we have an airsoft facility here in Anderson. We brought it in. We thought the area needed something for the youngsters to do and people to do out here in Anderson. We have a indoor and outdoor facility, 50,000 square foot indoor arena and an outdoor area that they come in and they battle and have fun all day. And it's a family facility. We really cater to family, and we see a lot of fathers and sons out here playing, and it's a lot of fun. It's really a neat deal, and it brings something to Anderson and the Northern California.
That it does. As a person who has been to the place, I can tell you it's an amazing facility. It is a great time. Now, for those that don't know, can you explain what Airsoft is exactly?
Yeah, if you know about paintball, it's similar to paintball, with the exception, in paintball you get hit and you're out. Airsoft, you get hit and you go to a respawn area. In our facility, it's a respawn tent, like a medic tent. And you go in and you go through and you're healed miraculously and you're back playing again. So it's really fluid. You're constantly moving and constantly playing. And we have different scenarios and different games throughout the day, and they'll last anywhere from a half hour to an hour, and there's a lot of strategy involved, a lot of similar to chess. You know, you have to flank people, you have to figure out how to get something, and you have to work together as a team. We have a lot of fathers and sons that come out here, church groups, things like that, to build teams up, and it's that's the difference. That's what it is, different than like paintball, but similar.
Okay. So why is your facility in danger right now? What's going on?
Well, with SB 199, what they're trying to do is pretty much limit or take away airsoft guns. And as you guys probably remember, I know when I was a kid, I played Cowboys and Indians, and I played Cops and Robbers. And, you know, as a kid, you just love those things. And they've taken away a lot of those toys away, and now you have this airsoft that you can come out here and play and enjoy all day, and they're trying to take that away. They're trying to pass laws where they have bright orange or bright pink guns, and I don't know too many young lads that want to have a run around with a bright pink or bright orange gun. It's just not, it doesn't look that good. And so if they end up passing this, it's going to really hurt our business. And we're a brand new business. We've only been here 6 weeks. The community absolutely loves us here.
Yes, we do.
People come in and they rave and they just say, this is fantastic, and we got somewhere for our kids to go. We employ 16 people. We're all about family. We have over 200 members now. Just in the 5 weeks we've been open, we have over 200 members signed up and playing, and you don't want to take that away. And if you really think about it, that's what's wrong with our country now. I mean, we don't start businesses anymore, and when we do, they shut us down. So it's really frustrating. You know, when your grandfather came out, you know, he could start a business tomorrow by just saying, hey, I'm going to open a business right here, and they start it. Yeah. Nowadays, it's really tough.
Well, that is part of the problem that we really are facing here in California, and that's part of what the state of Jefferson wants to fix, is the massive amount of burdensome regulation to even get started in business, let alone be able to maintain it. And for those of you that don't understand SB 90 or 199 fully, it actually wants to list airsoft guns as an imitation firearm, which would prohibit its sale, its transportation, its use, anything like that. And they've actually revised it to where any projectile under a 10-millimeter projectile that uses the force of air or electricity to fire its projectile would be banned. That's your kid's Red Ryder BB gun. That's the 177 Sheraton air rifle that I grew up plinking squirrels and stuff with.
Yep.
It's just a massive blanket ban that has been pushed through without any discussion with the airsoft community or the manufacturers or anything like that. It's horrible.
Well, even taking that a step further, one thing that I was lamenting to Robert about earlier today was, instead of, you know, granted, you know, there was a tragedy that occurred in Santa Clara to kind of jumpstart all of this, you know, with the young man who had the airsoft weapon pointed at a cop shot him. At the same time, you know, where does personal responsibility come into that? You know, obviously if you point anything at a cop, there's a chance that something bad is going to happen, you know, not to defend the cop, not to defend the boy. But it seems that in every aspect of California culture today, if somebody does something wrong, they take it away from everybody. That's like punishing one child for doing something, but because that wasn't enough, they're going to punish the rest of the kids too.
Yeah,
have you found that to be true with, you know, with airsoft and with other things? You know, I'm not too knowledgeable about the legislative side of all that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's, you know, I mean, when you really think it through, instead of coming to the airsoft industry, which the airsoft industry has actually been pretty good about not, you know, not trying to sidestep the safety side of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've come up with ideas of, you know, having parents sign, you know, sheets when they buy the gun saying, hey, you know, this is not, you know, a toy that's to be taken out the backyard without supervision and stuff like that. And they just, like, I don't know, they don't seem to listen. They just want, they have their own agenda, and they're not really listening to common sense. And when you really
common
think
sense.
About it, you think, you know, as an adult, you mean I can't go buy a BB gun anymore? I mean, it's, my God. I mean, when you really think about it, and yeah, you're right, that was a tragedy, and there's, that stuff happens every day. You know, cars hit people and stuff like that, and we can't regulate everything away. We just can't do that. You know, we have this little thing, you know, it's called liberty, and you start taking all our stuff away, and you're not going to have liberty. You might be free, but you're not going to have liberty, and that's why I support State of Jefferson, because I believe they'll look at it more common sense, and up here in the northern state, we have different beliefs and different values, and I think that that's a positive thing, you know, and that's where we are today, you know, they're just regulating us. It, like, I always keep telling everybody, just leave me alone, just leave me alone, and you know, that old saying, don't tread on me, it really applies nowadays.
That it does.
Yes, it does.
So I know that you've got a lot to get ready for, Frank. So if you don't have anything else, we'll go ahead and let you get to it. We actually had a call from one of your airsoft guys this morning on his way down to get ready for the day.
Oh, great. Well, thanks, guys, and thanks for having me on, and good luck.
All right. If you want to do a quick plug, you want to give us your address, your phone number?
That'd be fantastic. It's U.S. Airsoft Facility in Anderson. We're at 4506 Panorama Point, Anderson, California. And our phone number is 530-365-1000. Come see us. You'll have a lot of fun.
All right. Thank you, Frank. You guys
Thank
have
you.
A good day.
You too. Bye.
Yeah, that's one thing that I've always kind of, you know, had a bone of contention with is my parents, you know, they raised me to where, you know, if you do something wrong, you get punished for it. If you don't do something wrong, we're not going to punish you for something that somebody else did something wrong.
Well,
you know,
see, the thing is there's already law in place that this child was in violation of. You're not supposed to be transporting a firearm like that or a toy like that.
That's true,
In open. And even though that law existed, which should have prevented this tragedy, it didn't. And passing another law that is just effectively a blanket ban is not going to change anything either.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and the funny thing is when they originally wrote SB 199, it was a bill to redirect public assistance funds to probation department for AB 109. And, the sponsor of this bill, De Leon, Putz De Leon of Ghost Gun fame recently, actually pushed this law, this bill through the Senate and gutted the language after it was passed as, mm-hmm. as the probation thing, and then replaced it with all of this verbiage to basically ban airsoft guns. And what we're looking at is a prototype for what they want to do to the Second Amendment here in California, because if they can get something through the entire process and then gut the language of it and replace it with something else and shove it through committee in a week while nobody's paying attention, we're in trouble. And
yeah.
This is the kind of stuff that we need to really be paying attention to and on top of.
Well, along that line, like I was telling you the other day, when you take away youngsters' ability to be around not necessarily like adult firearms, but things that, you know, you can train them, you know, how to use firearms properly. When I was younger, I used to do airsoft and everything like that. And we made our own rules. You had to wear, you know, eyeglasses, plastic eye goggles and stuff to make sure that, you know, you didn't take BBs to the eyes. You had safety distances depending on the feet per second that the weapon was, you know. And that's, you know, 13 to 16 year old kids going, hey, I don't want BBs embedded in my arm. Let's make some rules so that we don't hurt each other and we can still have fun. But if you take away the ability for young people to come to logical conclusions with these weapons, a 7 year old who gets a BB gun is going to learn how to properly use a weapon when they're young. Mm-hmm. They're going to upgrade themselves to airsoft guns or paintball guns. And then once they become an adult, they're all, you know, the logical step is to get real firearms in order to protect themselves or to go hunting. If you take away those first two steps, the likelihood of your older generation being pro-gun, understanding the Second Amendment and the importance of the Second Amendment to protect our first and the other nine, well, I guess it's up to, you know, 16 or 17 now, but you're going to lose all that.
Well, you know, now you're kind of sounding like the lady at the gun debate in the other day here in Reading from the Brady campaign that said, you know, we're just unreasonably paranoid.
Oh yes, unreasonably paranoid.
So but yeah, and really you have an industry that their mantra is safety first. The airsoft industry is very proactive when it comes to safety and finding safer ways to play the sport. And it's a pretty good cottage industry here in mm-hmm. in California. And, you know, as Frank said, he just started. So his investment, his business, and 16 local jobs are in danger of being lost because of this, because of nonsense.
Well, think of the community outreach. You know, he said there was 200 members? 200 members? That's 200 people who can learn how to use these, if we want to call them imitation firearms, responsibly. Isn't that the most important thing to do?
Well, that's, the SWAT team goes down there. The sheriff goes down there. They train at his facility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Frank does a lot of good community work. And when he says it's a family sport, it is. It's great. There's fathers and sons out there bonding, having a great time. There's husbands and wives out there, because how better than to get a little marital bad tension out than shoot a couple times at each other?
That's why I got my husband into Civil War reenacting. I completely agree. It's one of those things where, you know, just going back to the personal responsibility factor, I mean, it seems like, you know, Mr. Rogers there, he's teaching responsibility. He's teaching, you know, community. He's allowing a forum for families to get together and do something together. I mean, how hard is it? You know, you're a family man. You know how it is.
You're
getting pulled this way. The kids are getting pulled that way. You've got school. You've got sports. You've got everything going on. You got to have somewhere where everybody can get together and have fun. I mean, granted, they're shooting at each other, but
It's a blast.
And it's so much fun.
And
personally, it's so much fun.
And really what's great about it is when I'm out there, it's 3 or 4 hours out of the week that I'm not thinking about bills. I'm not thinking about regulation. I'm not thinking about the normal day-to-day stresses. It's an actual break. It's an away from it. It's good exercise. And Frank does a really fantastic job. So
excellent.
I think we're ready for another break. And when we got back, Kayla's got some local stories of things to go over and things that affect Jefferson. And those of you that know and those of you that don't, SB 199 has passed our state Senate. It's on the
they
assembly
have.
floor. please call your assemblyman and tell them that you oppose this absolutely, because it's going to be a great harm to our community, and is just another prime example of why it's the reason for 51.
So if you've got any questions, comments, or anything like that, call us in at the studio at 605-4567 or follow us online at kcnr1460.com. This is the Jefferson State of Mind, and we will be back in just a few minutes.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to one to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to one on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi, I'm Vicki Leda from Amazing Foods for Life, gluten-free bakery mixes. If you're new to gluten-free or it's been your lifestyle for years, we're here to help. Often it can be difficult to find fast, easy, delicious treats. With our cookies, cakes, and muffin mixes, you can have bakery fresh in your home in about 20 minutes. Let us help bring joy to your kitchen this season. Find us locally at Orchard Nutrition, Tops Market, or Kent's Meat, or online at AmazingFoodsForLife.com.
Ladies, one of the wisest things you can do this holiday season is sign yourself up for Skinny Jeans Body Design Program coming this January. Adamson's Peak Performance has figured out the best type of training for all of our fit females in Reading and beyond. We go past mindless hours on treadmills to smart training that gets you back into your skinny jeans. And these groups are not just for the skinny. If you've ever glanced at the jeans in your closet that you used to get into, this class is for you.
Call now. Tell them Carla and Linda sent you. Adamson's Peak Performance, 221-8006.
We're from North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land.
Welcome back to Jefferson State of Mind. This is all about the state of Jefferson. Feel free to call us at 605-4567 or visit us online in our chat room at kcnr1460.com.
And you have some news stories that you were looking through.
I do. I have a couple of news stories. The first one is about the Gray Wolf meeting that was last Wednesday. Robert, did you have a chance to go to that?
I did not. You was actually out making a buck.
Oh.
How dare I?
Yes, how dare you have a job and do stuff like that. This is a very interesting story because the first thing that comes to mind is the things that are happening up in Siskiyou County, where you've got the young kids who are waiting for their bus for school, and they're surrounded by, you know, fences and barbed wire and things like that, so the wolves don't eat them. And now in Shasta County, they want to put in a wolf plan here, but we don't have wolves here. Robert, am I right on that?
No, we don't have wolves, and actually the species of wolf that they're looking at is non-native. They keep using the term, oh, we want to reintroduce the gray wolf. We want to reintroduce. How do you reintroduce something that was never native in the first place?
Exactly. That's exactly what was going on in my mind. I even asked my husband. He grew up out in Millville. I'm like, Jeff, what kind of wolves do we have here? And he goes, we don't have wolves. We have coyotes. And I'm like, well, then why do we need a wolf plan? He goes, maybe they're trying to introduce wolves into Shasta County. But the thing that just kills me about this article in the paper, and it was in the paper a couple days ago, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, is they kept bringing up the Tea Party. Like every paragraph says, Aaron Ryan, who started a Tea Party, Gary Cadd, who's a Tea Party member, there were Tea Party people there. Why do people hate the Tea Party so much? Why does that matter? I mean, these are people who want to bring back a sense of constitutionalism to our government, but the Jefferson movement's not affiliated with the Tea Party, so why is it whenever, you know, there's a Jefferson something, it gets tossed in there that the Tea Party's involved too? Why is that?
I do not know. I think a lot of it has to do with misinformation, and a lot of it has to do with what's going on in this country and allowing the powers to be to keep us divided. Because we no longer view ourselves as Americans. We view ourselves as Democrats. We view ourselves as Republicans. We view ourselves as libertarians. Oh, I'm an independent, and we really have to put that nonsense away and remind ourselves that we are Americans and that we have to fix our country. And as long as they allow us to divide divide ourselves, then we are a house divided and we will fall. And we have to stop it.
You know, that makes me think immediately as you're talking about that, about 1941, where the moniker of the state of Jefferson came in, where the vote to separate California was supposed to happen on, you know, December 8th.
Yeah.
But what happened December 7th? Well, we were bombed. And the Jeffersonians at the time said that there is something more important right now. And that is the preservation of the American way of life, not the Jeffersonian way of life, not the Californian way of life, but America as a whole. So I just found that very interesting when I was reading through that, how a lot of our news sources try to tear us apart. And we can all go back to those three R's of the state of Jefferson, you know, regulation, restoration, representation. And we all agree on those. We all agree. Reality. I mean, you know, it's slapping us in the face every time we go to work. I mean, most of us haven't paid our taxes yet this year, but I'm going to be, you know, I think I can say definitively they've gone up, which means that's less money for us to reinvest into our economy, which is going to hurt our economy. And it's just going to continue in a cycle like that.
It looks like we've got another caller on the line.
We've
got Jan.
Good morning, Jan. How are you doing today?
Hi, Kayla. I wanted to go back to when you said to call our assemblyman.
Uh-huh.
Our assemblyman is Brian Daly.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess is he agrees with us.
Mm-hmm.
So then the frustration is if you call any other assemblyman, they don't care what we think because they don't represent us.
Well, that's one of the cute things about it is, and Brian Daly's office does support a no vote on this. We've spoken to him. Several of us have spoken to us, but that by no means that other people should not call and voice their opposition to this. And it really highlights the plight of the state of Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, we ran the numbers on it, and we should have something akin to 68 assemblymen up here in the Jefferson counties, and we have one. And it effectively removes our voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we had had the 18 senators that we should have in the state Senate, there's a chance this thing never would have made it off the Senate floor.
Yeah.
And it really is a prime example of Southern California legislating life their way, with absolutely no discussion or concept of our way of life here.
Then, to move on, I was at the Wolf meeting.
Oh, okay.
I think the stakeholders were surprised. They had to keep bringing in chairs for the rowdy folks that would try to raise their hands and ask questions, and they really didn't like us doing that. She was very polite.
Okay.
I asked her how you get to be a stakeholder, and the stakeholders were like the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation,
okay.
UC Davis, some deer group. But then Sheriff John Lopey showed up.
Oh, wow.
And
okay. That wasn't mentioned in the paper.
That would be Sheriff John Lopey from Siskiyou County, for those who don't know.
Siskiyou County, and I'm like, he brought up health and safety, public health and safety,
mm-hmm.
and then the economic impact of wolves. And my question, you know, we didn't get to ask this, but why isn't Siskiyou County a stakeholder? You know, we're the ones that are going to have the wolves.
Mm-hmm.
The next meeting's in Davis.
Oh, wow.
So now we got to go clear to Davis to go to another meeting.
Yeah, well, why actually hold the discussion where people are affected?
Well, and then Aaron wanted to know why the meetings weren't in Yreka.
Yeah.
And well, they're like, well, we can't ask people to drive that far.
Well, if you had it in Yreka, all of Yreka would show up.
Yeah, well, the people that are actually affected by this nonsense don't have to drive that far.
Yeah, we're not stakeholders. I didn't hear anybody. There was some lady there from some wolf center. I'm like, how can anybody be for this? And they said, it said in the paper that they're not going to reintroduce wolves. Well, why do we need a plan then?
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, I agree
with it
that
was
one.
Interesting, and I think we need more people at these meetings in the future.
Well, how much time did you guys have to know that this meeting was even going to take place? I know I didn't hear about it except for the Monday before it happened.
It was only a day or so's notice, and Aaron was unhappy that they're not even notifying Doug LaMoffa's office
mm-hmm.
in a timely manner.
Well, that's really become the tactics of our government, is shove it through at the last second, do it in the dark of night while no one's paying attention, and then tell us, tough luck, it's the law of the land, deal with it.
You won't know what's in it until after they read it and pass it.
Well, they did say that once they get done with all these stakeholder meetings, then there'll be public comment. And we can comment then, and we're all like, well, we want to comment now.
Yeah.
Yeah, then what is the point of the stakeholder meeting at all?
Yeah, exactly. And why isn't Siskiyou County and Shasta, I was concerned, why isn't the Shasta County or the City of Redding tourism? I mean, do you think people are going to want to come to Shasta County and go hiking in the woods?
Yeah.
I'm a mountain biker. I already kind of negotiate with mountain lions, rattlesnakes, and bears, but now I got to worry about a pack of wolves.
Yeah. Yeah, that's scary. I didn't even think about that one. That's a good point.
Redding is really promoting trails,
mm-hmm.
both road, you know, paved trails and dirt trails. And it's kind of a budding industry for the city of Redding and Shasta County, with people coming here to vacation and ride their bikes. I'm thinking about calling the city of Redding tourism and asking if they're concerned about this. And they should be a stakeholder.
They should be.
They should be, but... Given the current attitude of our city council, I'm pretty sure the decision would be, oh, that's not within our purview, we'll just ignore it.
It's definitely possible, but, you know, if they, you know, I think you should call in and give them the option to see what they actually will do in the interest of the people, because that's what they're elected for.
Who we really need to start standing up here in Shasta County is our Board of Supervisor members. Even though the state of California really ties their hands on the powers and the abilities that they do have to defend us, they need to get involved as much as they can, because they are the ones that are really going to have the voice when it comes to defending ourselves from things like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really need to stop sitting back and being dictated to by California and stand up and say, no, we represent our people. We are here to represent the people of Shasta County. This is bad for our people. This is why, and we fully oppose it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do have to confess, I left at noon. That was all I could stand. They went on till 4 o'clock.
Oh my goodness!
And I mean, I don't know where these people take lessons to talk in a monotone and put you to sleep. There's like no emotion.
Yeah.
You know, and when we're talking, there's emotion just bubbling out, because we're going to be affected by it.
Well, there's a way around that. As you're sitting there, just start yelling out at random, and when they say something, just explain to them that you have Tourette's and they're picking on a person with disability.
Well, we did kind of get a little, they told us we couldn't ask questions, but there were times when everybody would just blurt stuff out.
Yeah.
And kind of peacefully disrupt the meeting. But that wasn't the goal, really. Although, it's just hard to sit there and listen to these people.
Okay. It is,
well,
yeah.
Well, thank you for the call, Jen.
Anyway,
we certainly
thank you guys
appreciate
for
it.
Doing the show. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you
for calling in.
Bye-bye.
And then the second editorial that I have here actually is Governor Brown finally agreeing with us here in the North State. How many devastating wildfires, Robert, have we had in the last 5-10 years that has destroyed our forests, that's ruined our soil and everything else?
It's beyond count.
Beyond count. And why is that?
Well, a lot of it has to do with we're not doing anything to remove the fuels mm-hmm. from the forests. As an example, we have $80 billion in harvestable timber in the Shasta Trinity National Forest right now.
That's billion with a B, right?
Yeah, billion with a B that we're not allowed to touch. Now, mm-hmm. how many jobs is $80 billion worth for people to cut the timber, for people to get the timber out of the woods, for us to use it as a resource? And we're not allowed to touch it because of environmental regulations.
Yeah.
Now, everybody says, oh, well, you just want to cut down the forest. Now, what harvestable timber means is that it is a tree that is at the end of its life cycle, that mm-hmm. if we do not go and harvest it, it's going to die. It's going to
fall
over.
And it's just
going to
rot.
And it's going to turn into fuel that will turn our forest into a flambé.
And Governor Brown, it appears, is saying we need to start getting rid of that harvestable timber in order to stop these devastating wildfires.
Yeah.
So finally, Sacramento, you know, Northern Californians, Jeffersonians, we have yelled loud enough. They are listening to us finally. It only took, a decade?
It's been about 20 years.
20 years, maybe? So, you know, they finally are listening. And we, how much time do we have left? About a minute and a half?
We can take a break or we can take this caller.
Okay, we'll go ahead and take the caller real quick. Jimmy, how are you doing this morning?
Hi, I'll make this real quick and you can probably answer it after the break. I have two questions. One of the big misnomers about why we can't have a state of Jefferson is water rights.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't the actual federal government control the water rights, not the state? And then the second question is what process would we have to do to try to see this through?
Okay.
You know, like signing a petition or whatever and getting it passed through.
Those are...
I'll get my answer after the break.
Yeah, we'll certainly have to answer those because they're fairly lengthy. But okay, thank you. Good question.
Thank you for calling in, Jimmy. Again, the studio line here is 605-4567, or you can follow us online at kcnr1460.com. But we will answer the questions about water rights and the process for statehood right here after the break.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
What does a tightly wound, very organized psychologist have in common with a freewheeling, unemployed addict? Nothing much, except a New York Times crossword puzzle and a car on the BART train all to themselves. You want to be along for this highly entertaining ride? Two Across by Jerry Mayer, directed by Kay Overbay, featuring Lisa Murphy Collins and Bob Corlick. Now playing at the Riverfront Playhouse. Reserve your tickets now at the Cascade Theater box office, 243-8877, or at cascadetheater.org.
Realize that this is the greatest country in the history of the planet, and we've overcome many obstacles. We've gone through a civil war, and we healed as a nation. That's a pretty big deal. We saved the world in World War I. Oh, and by the way, we did it again with World War II. Oh, yeah, we did it another time with the Cold War. We got a pretty good track record here in the United States. We're an amazing country.
The Dan Fagan Show, weekday afternoons, 3 to 6 on KCNR.
Welcome back. This is Jefferson State of Mind at KCNR1460.com, or you can call our studio line at 605-4567. Right before the break, we did have a question about water rights and the process of statehood. Robert, you want to kick off with the water rights question?
Sure. Well, the thing with water rights, and a lot of people don't realize, right now it is under federal regulation. And water rights are water rights. We really can't mess with the water rights a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
There is a whole other argument under the Enabling Act, under some of the decisions that have come out of the Supreme Court, and it's very clear that all land and navigable waterways are the sovereign domain of the state and can only be managed by the federal government by permission of the state. But this is not a movement to cut Southern California off.
Yeah, we don't want them to hurt. They're our family members and our friends.
Yeah, they're our cousins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank God we only got to see them for Christmas and Thanksgiving, but they're still our cousins. And the thing is water rights are water rights, so we can't mess with it really. But there's definitely an argument that we should receive some form of compensation
mm-hmm.
for allowing those resources to go down to Southern California and help them. And a trade-off for that is, well, we would expect compensation for that. It would also be our responsibility to maintain the canals and the avenues to mm-hmm. make sure that water flowed to our cousins down south.
Okay. And then the second question that Jimmy had asked was, what's the process for statehood? And it's actually really simple. According to Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution, all you got to do is go to your Board of Supervisors with a declaration of some sort saying that – your reasoning for separating from the state that you are currently a part of. For us, it's representation, pure and simple. We don't have representation here according to the Constitution. So you take this declaration to the Board of Supervisors. You get a majority vote. You collect all the Board of Supervisors' votes together, and you take those declarations down to, in our case, Sacramento, where it then goes to the legislature. It goes through the House, through the Senate, majority vote in both of those. And then you go to D.C., and you get the majority vote in both the House and the Senate back in D.C., and voila, you have a new state.
Pretty much.
Really that simple.
And if at any time we are given a no in that process, then we have the three legs that we need for a federal case to go and approach the Supreme Court and get Reynolds versus Sims overturned, mm-hmm. and get ourselves a state legislature that actually does represent us according to the Constitution and vote ourselves out anyways.
Yes, exactly. But we have a Jefferson Minute. That Robert put together that I would very much like to hear. I don't know about you guys.
We do. I'd like to just kind of highlight a personage or a place of Jefferson lore every week. And today I'd like to revisit one of our most famous Jefferson rascals. The man in question is none other than Charles Earl Bowles, born in 1829 in Norfolk, England. He made his debut on the Jefferson scene in the early days of the Eastern Strike in the Sierra foothills. Charlie and his brothers were brief prospectors, but after losing his brothers Dave and Robert to a disease that ran rampant throughout gold country, Charlie returned east and fell in with the 116th Illinois Volunteer Regiment for the duration of the Second American Revolution. Proving to be a competent leader, Charlie rose quickly to the rank of first sergeant and fought beside two Medal of Honor recipients produced by his regiment at the Battle of Vicksburg. That was prior to marching with Sherman to the sea. He left the Union Army as Brevet First Lieutenant Bowles in 1865. By 1867, our protagonist's wanderlust had found him in Idaho, where to their soon-to-be misfortune, he ran afoul of the Wells Fargo Company. Now, old Charlie had a disagreement up there with him and swore vengeance upon Wells Fargo. And keeping to his oath of sworn vengeance against the men and material of the great stage line, Black Bart robbed his first stagecoach on July 26, 1875 at Funk Hill in Calaveras County. Armed with his trusty shotgun, his pen and parchment, and garbed in his soon-to-be famous flour sack, the gentleman bandit accosted an astounding 27 more stagecoaches in the next 8 years. His exploits range from modern-day Ukiah in Mendocino County to as far as Oroville in Butte County and Alturas in the far northern reaches of Jefferson. Eventually run to ground by one James B. Hume in the employ of Wells Fargo, a man many said could have been Charlie's doppelganger, Bart's career ended where it had begun at Funk Hill in 1883. Remaining true to his penchant for courtesy and lyrical prose, throughout his four-year incarceration at San Quentin Penitentiary, Charles Bowles, upon his release, quietly faded from knowledge to become an indelible part of Jefferson lore.
So that is our Jefferson Minute right there. Again, we do have a few more minutes left on the show, so if you have any questions, any comments, call us in at 605-4567. This is KCNR 1460. You can also follow us online at kcnr1460.com.
The show is also archived. If you cannot get in to listen to it right now, or you had to be... You know, you had to run in the middle of the show. You can always go back and listen to it later. Visit us on our Facebook pages. You'll be able to find links for it there.
That's where all the young people are in case people have questions about young people in the movement. They're all on Facebook.
And we definitely want to thank our sponsor, the Jefferson Declaration Committee, for making this show possible.
And if you have any questions about the state of Jefferson, you can find us every Monday at the Destiny Church on South Bonneville. The Jefferson Breakout Group usually starts at about 7 p.m. We also have a ton of information on jeffersondeclaration.net. So if you have any questions, you can always find us on there as well. But it does look like we have one more caller. Good morning, Carl. How are you doing today?
We are doing great, and awesome. Linda and I just wanted to tell you how happy we are that you all are on the station, and you sound great.
Well, good. We're glad you like it, and we want to thank you for the opportunity to do this. Carl has been a huge support. Carl and Linda both have been very big supporters of ours in helping us do this, and in a lot of ways without them we wouldn't be able to, and we definitely want to show our appreciation for it.
Yep. And Carl has his own radio show that you can follow
Monday through Friday.
Is Carl on the radio, too?
I think so. You are on the radio, aren't you, Carl?
Well, occasionally. You know, Linda lets me talk. You know, the thing that we pride ourselves on Free Fire Radio on KCNR is that we offer the airwaves to everybody, and that's part of our community. And frankly, the State of Jefferson Mind show is very timely, and with all the things that are going on, and there's so many questions, and you two are so bright, and you're our upcoming tigers. You're young, and you see what's happening to our country and to our state, and you want to have something to say about it. You don't want to just, you know, meander down the path and have things happen to you without at least having something to say. And so we're really proud of that. And we're really proud that, you know, that of what you're doing.
Thank you.
Well, we appreciate that. And, you know, if we've fallen so far as you have to rely on some old Trinity County hillbilly, we really are in trouble and we need to help.
Well, that's why I'm here.
The brains of the operation.
Hey, well, look, great show, and I'm looking forward to in the future and all this, and we'll be seeing you all soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Carl.
You bet.
Bye. We do have a question online on KCNR1460.com in our chat room. It's from Jimmy. He's asking about the finances. Now, we've only got like 4 minutes left, so we obviously can't go very much into it.
That's going to have to be next Saturday.
That's what I told him. I said next Saturday we're going to talk much more in length at the finances, but in short, can we do it?
Of course we can do it. We'd actually be in the black and,
opposed to California.
As opposed to California. and we actually just got the new financial statement from the state controller's office. So we've got to revise some of our figures and update the formula. That's going to take us a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's certainly not a question that can be answered or explained in 4 minutes.
I also think the question isn't necessarily, can the state of Jefferson survive?
Oh,
but
yeah.
How long can the state of California survive? How much in debt are we? We're, what, $420
billion
in debt? $420
billion in debt. We think we're about $1 trillion with unfunded liability.
And that's just California.
That's just California. And we're adding another $18 billion to the budget shortfall with that.
Oh, good
grief. Not to mention the bond measures that they want to put through for high-speed rail and the Bay Delta Water Project, which is another one that we'll get into on a future show.
Yeah.
That is,
that's a whole another can of worms.
It is.
So. We only got a couple minutes left. I do want to give another shout-out to Frank Rogers down at U.S. Airsoft. Give him a call at 530-365-1000. Get involved with Airsoft. Get your kids involved. Take your wife down there. It's a great way to get some steam out of the house. And it's a way for the family to be together, because that's one of the most important things in America today is let's get these families together. Let's have them, being together, you know?
It is, and it is a fantastic way to do it. It's fun. Fathers, take your sons out there. They'll love you for it.
They will. Yes, they will. We do have one more caller. We only got about 30 seconds. Good morning, Lou.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you guys, I'm spreading the word on the radio station throughout my entire email list.
Excellent.
Even people down south. So, got to get the word out there.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very, very much, Lou. We appreciate the show of support.
We only have 1 hour, unfortunately. So as this hour does conclude, I do want to encourage all of our Jeffersonians. There's a lot of good people out there that are working hard for you. Your representatives, most of them, here in the North State are also working for you. So,
they are working very hard.
Give them a break sometimes. You know, California doesn't listen to them.
Well, that's what a lot of people need to understand is our representatives are out there working for us. And even though they are taking the brunt of our frustrations because they are the faces we see in Walmart every day, that they are doing what they can. But it is now our responsibility to stand up and help them and get them back the power that they need to help defend us.
Exactly. So life is busy. It's hard. But we can't get caught up in the moment. We need to look forward. We need to look ahead. We need to remember that everything that we do today has consequences for tomorrow. What are we leaving to our kids? Okay, what's the next generation going to take away from all this?
Well, the problem is right now with my three children, I'm leaving them $29,000 in debt to the state of California. Between my three kids, it's almost $100,000 that they owe for a tax burden already.
When your kid is born in California, they're born in debt.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't leave that to the next generation. That's not viable. So I want to bring you back to the Edward Rutledge. Or to Edward Rutledge, again, 26 years old when he signed the Declaration of Independence. And he said this. He said, I always considered an idle life as a real evil. But a life of hurry, of such constant hurry, leaves us scarcely a moment for reflection or for the discharge of any other than the most immediate and pressing concerns. So we look forward to seeing you next Saturday at 8 in the morning on KCNR 1460. Again, call us in at 605-4567. This is the Jefferson State of Mind. Make it yours, Jeffersonians.
You're listening to KCNR 1460 in Shasta Redding, Community Radio for the North State.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Obama used his weekly media address to talk about the middle class and some of the policies he laid out in this week's State of the Union speech.
It's time to restore opportunity for all people. The idea that no matter who you are, if you work hard and live up to your responsibilities, you can make it if you try.
Republicans sounding a theme of agreement with some of the president's ideas. Congressman Fred Upton said his party is ready to work with the president on bills supporting things like jobs and medical research.
These are all areas where the House has already acted, and we can move the ball forward without delay.
And Congressman Greg Harper said the GOP agrees with the president that supporting federally funded research can unleash more in the way of medical discoveries. President Obama meets with House and Senate Democrats this week to chart a path forward for the party's political directions. And more on that from SRN's Linda Kenyon.
The president will host House Democrats.